The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Welcome and good morning. This is Jacob Sotai, District 7 legislator. I am filling in the studio for our friend Joe, who is out investigating Disneyland in California. And he will be joining us later in the program. But joining me will be Mary Helen Deer, and she will be interviewing our Kiowa Elder of the Week, Dolores Herriger, on remote from Norman, Oklahoma. But we'd like to welcome you to Kiowa Talk this morning, created by the late J.T. Goombay. Our sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on the new Country 98.5 are KACO, are the Kiowas for a Better Future, District 5 legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 legislator Jacob Sotai, and Lawrence Spotted Bird, concerned Kiowa citizen. At this time, we will have an opening prayer, and then follow that with a Kiowa hymn, and I will do both. So let us pray. Aho, Doc Key, Creator, we thank you for this beautiful day, for the breath of life that you have chosen to bless us with, and all the goodness that we see around us. We come before you this morning asking special blessings on our elders, our treasures of our Goigu people, who are the carriers of knowledge and tradition and culture. We ask you to bless their journey and send someone their way to help them along the way, to help guide them and to be of service to them. Today, as we gather, we ask special blessings for our servicemen and women, those who have served dutifully across the sea, and those who have been taken from us by that horrific bombing in Afghanistan. Be with their families as they continue to mourn the loss of their loved ones. Be with all our servicemen and women wherever they are. Keep them safe and free of harm. Be with our children this morning as they continue their journey through the educational process. Keep them protected from this terrible virus. Help them use common sense. Help them to keep their space and to be aware of their surroundings. Be with their families as well as they nurture their children, their loved ones, their special gifts from Dalkey. And we ask you to help them with patience and with determination to make it through this school year. Be with our people on the margins, those who are homeless, those who are suffering with mental illness and struggling with addiction. Help them to make it through this day. Help them to see a point of light where they can find their way into wellness and rejoin their families, their loved ones, and to become productive citizens. We ask you to be with our leadership of our tribe. Protect and guide them as they struggle with the challenges of our people. Be with those who are in a very grateful manner today, having received the abundance of your blessing, and that you would give them the common sense they need to make this payment something that can be of benefit and help to serve the family and loved ones. And we ask you to continue to lead us and guide us, watch over all of our journeys, and forgive us if we have not reflected your love and your light in our day-to-day comings and goings. Be with us always, and we ask this in your love and spirit. Aho, Doki. Doki ga danza na e begon tome a on tando do. Doki ga danza na e begon tome a on tando a on tando a on tando do. Doki ga danza na e begon tome. A on tando do. No ki ga don't sign on. Ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando. A on tando. A on tando do. No ki ga don't sign on. Ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando do. No ki ga don't sign on. Ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando do, do ki ga do tina, e beg ya on tome. A on tando, a on tando, a on tando do, do ki ga do tina, e beg ya on tome. A on tando do, do ki ga do tina, e beg ya on tome. A on tando, a on tando, a on tando do. Do ki ga do tina, ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando do. Do ki ga do tina, ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando do. Do ki ga do tina, ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando, a on tando, a on tando do. Do ki ga do tina, ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando do. Do ki ga do tina, ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando, a on tando, a on tando do. Do ki ga do tina, ain't beg ya on tome. A on tando do. Aho! The words of this Kiowa hymn are, I prayed to God and he gladdens my spirit. I am glad. I prayed to God and he gladdens my spirit. I am glad. I am glad. I am glad. I prayed to God and he gladdens my spirit. I am glad. Aho. And now we'll turn time over to Mary Helen Deere to introduce our special guest this afternoon.
Thank you, Jacob, for the prayer and the song. And this morning we have as our special guest Dolores Herrera, and I am so pleased to be here in Norman with her. I haven't seen her in a while due to all the stuff going on in the world, but it's a pleasure to be here with her. And so we'll begin. Dolores, we usually begin this interview with telling you, whenever you meet somebody new, you say, "Hey, who's your folks?" So tell us, who's your folks?
Okay, my name is Dolores Herrera, and my parents are Lewis and Richenda Toybo. They're both Kiowas, And I live on my mother's allotment. I live on a original Kiowa allotment. And I was born on that allotment in May the 5th in 1929.
Okay, that's good to know. I probably have some more questions for you later if you can remember. Our next question that we usually have for people is to talk about your childhood and your youth. And how did you grow up? And what values were you taught?
Well, as I say, I grew up on this allotment. And in those days, families took an allotment near one another. So across the road was my mother's brother. To the west was her niece, her brother's daughter. By the way, she was older than she was. She had a niece and a nephew who was older than she was. But I grew up, and down the road was my aunt, Mrs. Potai, and across the road were the Cretons, and everywhere, all around me were Kiowa people. Of course, we lived in the midst of Kiowa allotments, and to the north was the Washita River, and to the south Chicken Creek, and then Highway 9. So anyway, that's where I grew up. And it was wonderful to go up then, a beautiful time, because I feel like my generation grew up on the very, very fringe of Kiowa, the way Kiowas live. And so I spoke Kiowa as a child. That's what I heard. And when you hear, you learn a lot from just knowing and hearing Kiowa, although they don't pointedly listen, and then you have an idea. As time goes on and you grow into an adult and you learn through your language about your culture and your family, and so your language is very, very important to help you know who you are and how to conduct yourself. And so that's why I'm very fortunate to have grown. My parents went to school at Rainy Mount, as did their generation. They were born in the early 1890s, 93 and on down, and their peers were the same way. They went to school. They were the first generation to go to of Kiowa people to go to school. And they learned a lot at that school, but they never forgot their ways and their language. And so it was beautiful to always say to my uncle's house, there was a path and you could go there barefoot, nothing in the road. It was the path we went so often that it was just bare of any kind of stickers or anything. And then the same way up to my aunt's house. And so that's what it was all over. We just visited one another. And every day, I know maybe I went several times a day to my uncle's house because there were children to play with. And I didn't have anyone my age at my home. So it was beautiful to see the elders come visit my uncle and see the elders visit my aunt. And maybe this is a good time to tell you about where I live. On my mother's allotment was the feather dance camp. And I guess, the early 1890s to about 1916, the ghost dance. And my maternal grandfather, Sedefeita, was the leader. And there were satellite places for this religion. And there was a huge camp there, I was told. And once my father showed me the corner of the little field that in front of our house, where he said, "You see all this? You can see the tracks where the wagons turn here to this camp." And then later, I was privileged to listen to the Kiowa culture tapes. And the elders, I would say they were eight, and they all spoke, they did different topics, and they spoke about different topics, and this topic was on the feather dance or the ghost dance, and each of them, when they spoke of it, several of them called it Dothokia. That was what it was. Dothokia, that means the place of a song, the house of song. And they described what it was, a huge camp, and they described what they saw. They each said they were very young and they didn't really understand. But I remember once Hazel Bolton describing, she went there often, and she said there was a huge teepee that was also a cross, and that she would see Father Isidore from the from St. Patrick's Mission there every now and then he came. So it's a very interesting topic, but I'm getting to the point where, so I live on the place that was called Dothokia. Every one of them went to talk to me, that's why. And I'm telling you this because that's how I found out what where I live meant. I didn't know because my parents and my family never told me that this is called Dothokia. They never talked about it that way. So I learned the name of the Kiowas had for that. And it was a huge camp, I was told. I didn't know how huge it was, but on another occasion, there was a, I live up southwest of me is the Simone Cemetery, and there was a burial there, and it was the Apichon family, and Dora Apichon was staying, we were staying there together after the services were over, and she looked down, you could see where I live, and she looked, and she said, I can just see all of those cheapies, I can just see that huge camp. And so I said, Dora, I didn't know you were that old. And she laughed and she used the Kiowa term. She said, I'm so old, my ribs are caving in. But she said, yes, I remember that. So, and then another instance, I told my neighbor, Eileen Quiton, that I had a photo that if she wanted to look at it. And she said, well, I must have taken it at the camp because I never went to a town when I was that old. And so it was a huge camp that lasted until about 1916. So I'm getting off on something else. So the original question was tell you about my childhood. Well, I live in a historic place. So that's my, and I learned from all the people who came and they loved one another. And My uncle's wife, her relatives would come, and I got to know them. And then all the elders would come up to my aunt. She was very hospitable and generous person, and she was gracious, just like everyone else. And everyone came to. We had, my father had built a large arbor, it was a frame arbor, and it had a kitchen and a dining room with a brick floor. We lived there in the summer because my mother canned, and she kept the house hot, and it was unbearable, and it, with a wood stove. And so we lived there all summer outside, and it was a gathering place for the children. I only had one brother, he was 9 years older than I. At the time, I had two brothers and others, two other siblings who were passed away when they were toddlers. So the children would come and gather there, and we would go swimming right straight north. But they came to our house because at noon, my mother would feed us all. She had a long table, and it was a screened-in dining place with a brick floor. And we all, I don't know what we ate from her garden, our garden. And then she would get mileage out of them. She said she'd send us all out to the garden and we'd either gather peas or beans or whatever, tomatoes. And then she had us gather those. And then after we got through eating, we all went to the river and swam. And they came, and there are two young people that lived, the west of me lived Ralph and Lizzie Appertone, and to the west of them lived Lily Botone and Francis Thorntacourt. And then to the north of them were the Sapitas and Parker Brace. And then around me, my uncle's step-grandchildren were the Cornelius Spotted Horse and Virgil Spotted Horse and all their sisters. And then on my south, we had Pearl Bidbo. And so we all gathered there and we went swimming. And it was a wonderful time. And you had to haul water to drink. And so the boys would do that. They would get the boys would pump and get the water. And then we walked everywhere. We didn't have horses. We walked. We looked for plums, looked for mulberries, or we just walked. So that was the way I grew up with all these. And to see all the relatives come, that's my very precious memories, to see all the Kiowa people come and visit their relatives. So
go ahead and tell Mary Helen she got
That's really interesting.
Mary Helen, you have about 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's really interesting. So tell me, we got now 5 minutes left. So all those experiences as a young person, I'm sure in some of those instances, you were taught values or traditions that you weren't realized that you were being taught those. What of those values and such in conducting your life did you carry into adulthood?
Well, have a love and respect for your relatives. And one important thing is that how much respect that was shown between brother and sister. It was very, very beautiful to see. No out of the way, nothing out of the way was said. You respected one another very much. And then I think I should tell you about my childhood at school. I haven't done that. And then also, briefly, I'll do that. And I went to school at a country school called Simone. And then I graduated from Carnegie High School and the University of Oklahoma in 1951. And then I should like to point out that I have a very interesting family and background. In addition to my maternal grandmother, being the feather dance or ghost dance, that's called leader, my paternal grandmother's family were the first Christians baptized in the Washita River on January 22nd, 1893. And her uncle, Godebo, was the first one. And so they're the ones who started, their charter members of the Rainy Mountain Church. And they're the first Kiowa Christians. And Godebo also composed the first Kiowa hymn. And so I have those two. And they were Christians. They were adults when they accepted the Lord, which is an amazing and beautiful thing that I cherish. God is very gracious to me and to my family. I'm very grateful all through life. I've thought about all the missionaries who spent their time with the Kiowa people, and they stayed many years, all of them, and the Kiowa people loved them. They were given Kiowa names, and so I'm grateful for that part. My traditional background on one hand and my Christian background on the other. And with the ghost dance religion, there are very beautiful songs in there. One of my favorite, and I can't sing anymore, is it says that prayer is my fortress. And so that's really the way it is with all of us. We know that we pray, we go, and we consider, and the song says it's my fortress. Fortress. So they have beautiful songs. They were all very beautiful and deep. Kiowa is deep. You can't translate it, our language.
Well, thank you, Dolores. And I know that we can have you back and talk some more about those early times, because we really need to capture those. The other thing we need to capture are family trees. I don't know if you helped any of your family put a family tree together, but to go back, because we didn't have last names then. It was just one name, and so it's hard to trace, you know, all of that. But if you and your children could sit down one time and listen to you and put all those names in place, that's valuable. We don't want to lose that information. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dolores, and we really appreciate your time that you took to be with us. And back to you, Jacob.
Thank you, Mary Helen. And I would like to express my appreciation to Ms. Harriger for volunteering to serve on our language credentialing committee to certify our new language speakers so they can go into the public school classrooms. That's going to be a daunting task, but it's so critical that we value and we support our language revitalization and our speakers, our fluent speakers, such as Ms. Harriger, along with the other committee members. So thank you very much, Ms. Harriger. Now, Joe, if you're ready, we'll bring on our next guest. I'll let you introduce her, Joe.
Sure. For our next guest, we've got Kiowa Elder Cheryl Poulaw. Recently, she made a post on her Facebook page, and it was shared to the Kiowas for a Better Future page. Cheryl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we've got about 8 minutes to talk about this topic. I noticed a disturbing picture that you put on the page. And if you
I have a picture of his head with staples, but I didn't want to post that.
Well, so keeping in mind, we only have 8 minutes, so let's go ahead and give an abbreviated version of what's going on with that picture and who that is and what's happening to them right now.
Well, I go to the south side of Lawton on First and Lee. There's a grocery store up there, and it's a discount store, and there's Family Dollar. It's a strip mall. But anyway, I go up there, and I buy food, and I see these people sitting on the sidewalks, and I see them sitting in the alley in that heat. And I started driving by every day and checking on, you know, just watching them. I was kind of afraid to ask them anything, but I stopped. And I seen this one man sitting in a wheelchair. A lot of times he's sitting on the side of the store by himself, or he's in a wheelchair. And I happened to stop, and I gave him some money, and I asked him his name. He told me his name, and I knew who he was because he lived in Prairie Village and in Anadarko when we did. And he comes from the Toypoy family. And his mother, his dad, and Matt Kamalki's mother are sister and brother. And they know about that big building down there on Lee. They see it. And anyway, I take him food, and I give him money when I go down there. And I missed him Monday. I missed him. I asked around. I said, where is he? And they said he fell, and he's in a hospital. So I went back yesterday, and I found him. And he was sitting in them scrubs. And I asked him what happened. He said he fell and hit his head. And he had to be taken to the hospital, had staples in his head. And he's back out there in the alley. And I said, do you want anything? He said, yeah, I'm hungry. I said, all right. I went over and bought him. I bought him and the rest of the first people there. I bought them 20 hamburgers and fries and something to drink. But he said, I said, I know who you are. And he knows me. And I said, you're Matt. First cousin. He said, yes, I am. And I said, well, I said, he said, can you take a picture of me? And I said, yeah. He said, take a picture of me and send it to him. Tell him I want my check. Tell him I want a home. He said, it's hard out here.
So Cheryl, that's terrible. One thing that we've noticed that since the chairman, no one can sign the chairman's recall petition, we've noticed a drastic decrease in the number of checks processed every day. And, you know, and it was almost to the day that the petition was due.
Yeah.
And then then the day after, the check processing dropped off greatly. And so, you know, we've not been given a reason for that, but it shouldn't, you know, be that hard to figure out why that the chairman's now not under recall and the check processing has gone down. So the checks, it appears, were being rapidly processed just to prevent people from signing the petition, and which is disappointing. So we don't have a great deal of time. So, Cheryl, is there anything else that you'd like to share with everyone about the chairman's cousin or anything else that he had to say before we move on to the next segment?
He told me, he said, to tell Matt he wants his money and he wants a check to get a motel or get a place to stay just to get out of the heat. And I told him I would try to help him, and that's why I posted that picture. I told him about the recall petition. If we had gone out to the streets, but the only thing about that is they don't have no ID or no enrollment numbers, and that's what needs to be done in that complex over there. We need IDs. We need things to get us our mail and a place to live. They need help. They need help on the streets. It's hot.
Well,
it's going to get cold now. He said, I want a house before it gets cold. He said, him and his friends. He said, I want a home where I can sit and be warm. And I said, I'll help you. I'll help you. And I was going to help him. I am going to help him.
So the recall petition did fail, but it certainly wasn't a mandate or confirmation of the chairman's administration. Nearly 1,100 people signed the recall petition, and only 1,300 or so voted in the chairman's election. So clearly, this is not a mandate of people's satisfaction with the current administration. So, Cheryl,
They're finding out now.
Yeah, they sure are. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we cut away?
Well, get those checks out. Do something for these people, not only the homeless, the ones that didn't get their checks, the children. They're going to school with old clothes while the other kids got new clothes. That's unreasonable.
We've noticed that the children's funds haven't been passed out. They are making an attempt to get the cards to the kids, but, you know, we'll have to bring that up on a later show. So, Cheryl, thank you for taking time out of your day, sharing that story with us. Hopefully we can help get this man his check so that he can get some relief. Go ahead.
Jacob's going to help?
Yeah, Jacob's going to try to help.
Yes, I told you. I sent you a message.
It falls in the District 4 legislator's jurisdiction. Jacob is going to try to help this man.
I was going to go down to Jesse's office. I live just about 5 blocks from his office, and I was going to go down there today, but I'm trying to do things for this man out here. So I was going to go down there and talk to him and ask him to get him a motel room for a week to get him out of that heat. And I haven't done it yet, but I'm going down there. I'm going to see why he hasn't helped our district.
One more thing before I cut back to Jacob. We did have somebody, a homeless person, that did get through to the chairman, and he talked to the chairman, and the chairman told him that you got yourself into this mess. You need to get yourself out of it, and hung up the phone.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that has been said. So, Cheryl, thank you for coming on, and we'll turn the show back over to Jacob. Jacob, you can go ahead, and you and Anita, with your legislative update. Thank you.
Okay, before you go, Cheryl, before you go, if I sent you a a messenger message, I think. If you would respond later after the program and give me a call, and we'll get his information and see if we can get that processed.
Okay.
For his payment. Aho, thank you so much for your compassion and for your generosity and looking out for your fellow man and woman. I know that a lot of people would have just ignored that and would have just driven by and not paid attention. But you have a kind, compassionate heart, and Dalkey, may Dalkey bless you for all that you do.
That's what they said. Those homeless people, when I left, they were saying, God bless you. God bless you. And that coming from them, it meant a lot.
Yes, yes. And they are so generous, not generous, but thoughtful in that regard. They appreciate anything that anybody can do for them because they're in the midst of a human struggle. And it's so difficult for them. Any little morsel, any thought or gesture, they appreciate and they value it. So I'm so glad that you did and responded that way. Thank you, Cheryl. Well, thank you so much. I hope. At this time, I'll give my report. We are meeting today at 9 o'clock following this program. Through a virtual Zoom broadcast for our monthly meeting for September. And we will hear two resolutions. One resolution is the Missing Native American Women and Children's Project out of New Mexico. We will get more information on that and maybe take a vote on whether to participate in that program. And then I will read for the record a resolution I hope to become a bill to unite all our education programs under a tribal education agency to make us more streamlined with all our programs under one body, and so that it can be a seamless cradle to grave program. And have one overseer, an executive director, to guide all of our education programs. So that will be read. And then we will read, hopefully, a final version of the budget proposal that legislator Primus is working on with the executive branch. Hopefully we can get something through to complete a budget so that we can increase our services and programs funding levels that we propose instead of having to go back to this year's budget. We did get notice this week of two vetoes by the chairman, one for the 2021 election ordinance, which was amended, and the other for the modification of the current budget to take into account the American Rescue Plan funding. And both of those were vetoed, and we will meet shortly to consider a veto override, and we'll see what we can do to help move those two bills forward. Both are greatly needed in order for us to continue our efforts to improve our system of governance and also our resources, have more resources available for the public. I'm not sure what else we will be considering on Saturday. It could be a very short meeting, having those two bills to be read into the record. We're reassessing, you know, where we are as the leadership team. The recall did fail. We did not have enough signatures. But there are ongoing investigations by the federal government that could yield some results that might benefit our people. I know it's frustrating for so many of us to see some of these activities that are going on, the lack of responsiveness to the needs of our people, and certainly the lack of vision. We seem to react to situations rather than be proactive, and I think that's hurting us all the way around. We need certainly need to be more collaborative in our efforts to guide our people. We have yet to really sit down and visit as two branches to talk about the issues that we should be working together on. We do know that some of us believe in the legislature that what we just have witnessed with the payment of the ARP money, that it was unconstitutional. And the most of the legislators felt like the funding was so important and critical to our people that we would allow the individual payments to go through, and then we will consider a course of action that would hold someone accountable, the leadership, the executive branch, accountable for that unconstitutional act, because the money has never been voted on by the KIC, and that needs to occur before any money is spent. This was a unique situation. And we just allowed for the individual payments to go through because of the level of economic distress that our people are realizing. But we will regroup and regather and look what course of action we take as a legislature to forestall what we anticipate might be some rampant misspending or certainly money funds spent in a way that does not take into account all the needs of our people. And we will see how we can help to make that more real and more viable in how we are dealing with this new source. And we still are waiting for an additional round of funding, a second round of funding. We don't know yet the dollar amount, what that will be. But we do believe there will be over $20 million left over after the individual payments are made to be appropriated to specific programs. And so we will need to deal with that here in the very near future. Joe, are you there still?
Jacob, yes, I am still here, yes.
Okay, anything on your part?
Well, one thing that's disappointing, but it's not surprising, is the fact that the chairman vetoed both of those bills, because clearly neither one is in his own personal interest. The chairman continues to violate the Constitution on a daily basis. The Constitution clearly states that all funds, no matter what, received from whatever source, are to be included in a budget. And the budget is to be approved by the people, and those funds are not to be spent until it's been voted on. And the chairman has clearly violated that. And here he is vetoing a bill that follows our Constitution. So he continues to violate the Constitution daily, and it's just disheartening. The second thing is on the election ordinance, when he was sued last year, or when they actually sued to have the judge put a stay on his injunction or his impeachment and one of the recall elections, the judge said that the election ordinances needed to be updated. Well, the election commission updated the election ordinances, and here the bill has come to him, and of course, look what he did. He vetoed the bill because it doesn't serve his own personal interest. And that's the only reason why he vetoed it, is because the judge ordered it to be changed. It's been changed, and the chairman vetoed it because to try to slip through the cracks. It's as if someone carefully went through that Constitution and identified all the cracks in it. And then you have the cockroaches crawling through those cracks to get what they want done in their own personal interest. And that's my assessment of what's going on here. Jacob, what do you think?
Well, I think that might be part of our situation. The other part is that he knows we cannot override his veto, because he has two yes men who follow his line and his lead in order to protect their interests. And I think that's probably at the core of why he feels a wanton disregard for being able to improve our election processes. And it was something that was called for and was done. And so his veto is really a head scratcher, other than he didn't have a hand in it. And so I think that's part of why he refuses to allow anything that is going to improve our tribe not to have his hand on it, because he wants to be seen as the good guy. And I agree with your assessment about the payments being really under intense efforts to get out to the people, because he so wanted to be seen as someone who has been looking out for the best interest of our citizens, and to avoid what would happen if the team had gathered enough signatures. And you're right. Overall, when you look at the scope of the petition itself, that's a high level of dissatisfaction. I think he only got maybe 500-600 votes in the general election, and 1,100 discontented citizens had the courage to step up and sign that petition in order to seek a different course of action for the tribe. And so, you know, there's great disappointment, but then there's hope that this investigation will yield some results that will hold him accountable for the way that he has misspent the CARES Act money. I know they're being very circumspect on this round's funding, and that's, you know, that's a good thing. But that was created because of what the 14 inquiry that was made, and so you know, there's a lot of ways that can be utilized to, again, mislead our people. The efforts that were made to bully our citizens with the payment, which was obvious to try to sway some of those who had yet to sign the petition into withholding their signatures because they were desperately in need of resources. And, you know, that's another avenue that could be explored. This past recall effort was not allowed to be conducted in a fair and open manner because there was that type of intimidation among a few in order to send a message to the many. So that you can see that that was a very intentional effort to try to help to forestall the results of gathering all the signatures needed.
One thing that I didn't notice, and it's very apparent, the word is getting out about the news from the tribe and the monies, and we did see over 10,000 people apply for those checks, yet we have such a low voter turnout. And we did get 1,100 signatures, which is nearly all of the people that voted in the election for the chairman, just 200 and something votes short. So people are listening and watching, but there was a degree of intimidation enough which most likely caused people to refrain from signing that petition. Otherwise, we'd see the chairman on his way out.
Yes, I agree. It really was frustrating to hear of those incidences because they sent a clear message, even though it was illegal. They got their message across. You know, if you signed a petition, you may not be receiving a payment. And for people to fear that there would be repercussions, there was no way for them to see whose names were on that signature, on the petition signature. And it kept them from being more assertive in applying their constitutional right. And you know, that's just unfortunate, but you know, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a leadership that's vacuous in their a way to approach things in an intelligent manner, and keeps us from improving in our institutional functions, because you know it just gives them carte blanche. You know, when these things fail, and they think they've gotten away again with not being called to account for their action. So, you know, karma's a, you know what, it will come around, and it may be even more severe than the loss of a position or elected position. So we have to keep that as a hope that we will be able to see some justice. We have to keep fighting for justice because it's just what we're fighting for is the memory of our ancestors and the way they dealt with one another and how they had values and mores that reflected a good path. And we're not on that good path now. It is so sad that we have things that have been done in a shameless manner and that our tribe is being under the spotlight and because of the actions of the executive. We'll see. Good things are going to happen one way or another.
So one thing I wanted to share with everybody, when that petition was turned in, the election commission took it to the copy machine and made a copy, and Jared noticed that that copy machine sent a copy of the file to an email address. So according to the lawsuit last year that concerning recall petitions, that the person who's being recalled is allowed to look at the petition but is not allowed to have a copy. They can look at it one time.
But that's only, Joe, that's only if they're confirmed to be valid.
Right.
And they weren't
valid. They can do that one time. However, Jared noticed that when they made a copy, that file was sent to an email address. So the entire petition looks like the information has been compromised as it was emailed somewhere. And we can find out later from Jared where it went. But I just wanted to mention that.
Well, I hope that's not the case because, again, that's an illegal act. Someone can
Jacob,
be held responsible.
What stuff does the chairman do that is legal?
Well, there's that perception. I give you that.
Jacob, where do we sit on our time?
We've got about 7 minutes left. So
7 minutes left. So yes. What topic would you like to talk about?
Well, I would like to say that it would be good relating back to Ms. Poulos' interview. That it would be good for our tribe to have a homeless shelter there in Anadarko. We do know that there are dozens of homeless people that could benefit having a shelter that would give them a place to go at night, a place to clean up, a place to wash their clothes. And I think that would be a good way to spend some of the resources that we have to help to support those who are on the margins. So I hope there's still that consideration. I know that was mentioned. It may have been a teenage homeless thing, but I think that there is that consideration for that kind of program to come into being with some of the additional funding that's left over. And I would support that in a minute in order for our people to not have to be put in those types of situations. Where they're looking for something to eat. I do know one of the churches provides a breakfast meal on Monday morning early, and there are dozens of people that come there to get a breakfast burrito and to get a sack lunch to feed them for one day. So one day out of the week they have something to eat, but I'm not sure what happens for the rest of the week. So I hope that, you know, we look at remedies to some of the frustrations our citizens are feeling because of the pandemic, because of the economic downturn, and because of things, the financial challenges that they confront. You know, I look forward to seeing how we can help provide support in an efficient, effective manner.
You know, you would think that that one of these dilapidated buildings that he's purchased could be used.
That's right.
You know, to house these people at least on a temporary basis, or especially when it's cold. Right. And get some assistance as well as get these people their checks.
Well, let me go back to that, refer back to your opening statements about the checks, the slowness, and how it was kind of coincidental that the checks slowed down. I talked to someone on Thursday in the office in the center, and I was making inquiries about some in my district, and I asked about the previous year's CARES Act payments that weren't made. And she said they're on hold right now. They do have the money and resources that can help to complete that, but they're on hold now because they're being investigated. So, you know, that's the first time I heard that term from the administration.
Jacob, on that part. Now, we've not heard anything publicly from the two entities that we know are investigating them, but we have seen some evidence that those are ongoing, mm-hmm. and hopefully those will come to public view very soon.
Yeah, there are many items and documents that were made available to support some of the allegations, and the Treasury Department is taking their time, but you know, you got to do it right so you can make sure that those allegations are investigated thoroughly and they do result in some type of charge that would impact our leadership. And you know, as I referred to that earlier, that we have to be hopeful that that will occur and then that they will be held accountable, and so that this type of misspending, malfeasance can be checked, and that we can see that it would be a way to show other tribes that you cannot mess with government misspending. You cannot give in to the greed, you know, that is there. You have to follow the guidelines, and you have to make sure the money is used as it is intended and not become a piggy bank for those who have less than rigid values.
Hey, Jacob, how are we sitting on time?
Yeah, we're very near the end. If you want me to,
let me make one quick announcement.
Okay,
the second annual KCA Veterans Powwow, which is September the 11th, had to change venues. They are now moving the powwow to the, and I'm going to screw up this name, Tadunipa Family.
Tadunipa
Family Grounds on 4 Mile Road. Again, that is September the 11th. Cy Autone and Eddie Onko are the MCs. And so if you want to go to the KCA Veterans Powwow, go ahead and head out there. And Jacob, I'll turn it over. You close out the show. Thank you so much for standing in.
And I'd just like to mention some of the staff. The Master of Ceremonies are Cy Autone and Eddie Onko. Head man is Mike Ministel. Head lady is USA Pocowatchit Air Force Lieutenant. Head singers, Parker M. Hula, Kiowa, Robert Tejano, Comanche, Kenneth Looking Glass, Apache. They will be there at that Veterans Day powwow, honoring our women warriors. So that'll be a pretty good thing. I want to remind everybody to get their vaccinations, and there may be boosters available. So please contact the IHS. I know that Norman First American United Methodist Church will provide booster shots on Sunday, September 12th. In the afternoon from 1 to 4. So if you can, take the opportunity to protect yourself and your families and those around you in your communities. So we want to say aho to all those who were participants today, Ms. Dolores Herrera and Ms. Cheryl Pula, and thank our sponsors, and would like to acknowledge all of our Koigu for tuning in to this program on KACO, New Country 98.5. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as J.T. Goombay would say, Goombay for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mormon Media management and staff.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.